2009, Miller and Yemetz Kron Yemetz Mud 2008. Then they had a shiur of Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik. So I figure, wow, you know, I never heard the Rav speak about Yom HaAtzmaut. So I immediately downloaded it and listened to it on the way home yesterday. It's a shiur he gave in Yiddish. So I haven't heard a shiur in Yiddish. I don't think I ever heard a shiur in Yiddish. I think it's one of the reasons I was in the Rav shiur, because I didn't speak Yiddish. But I figured, Varam HaYotzim and HaLev, Nichnasim El HaLev, even if you don't understand. And I really understood a lot of it. So now maybe I'll go back to learning Yiddish. But what I tried to do is take off from where I left off last year, according to my notes, and try to take it one step further. So last year, I pointed out that the dates of Yom HaAtzmaut and Yom HaZikaron are not fixed in the Jewish calendar. Not fixed, meaning even in Medinat Yisrael, that classically Yom HaAtzmaut is Hei Iyar, and Yom HaZikaron is the day that precedes it, which is Dalet Iyar. We're all aware that today Yom HaZikaron is Hei Iyar, and Yom HaAtzmaut is going to be tomorrow Vav Iyar. And the reason is really very, very special. The reason is to prevent Chilul Shabbos. Yesterday morning, I davened at the Kotel, Vosikin, and I saw that the trucks began bringing in all of the chairs for the Yom HaZikaron ceremony that was going to take place, that took place last night at the Kotel. Had Yom HaZikaron come out on Dalet Iyar, which this year was Sunday, then there Chas V'Shalom would have been tremendous Chilul Shabbos in terms of preparation for all of the ceremonies on Shabbos. So because of the issue of Chilul Shabbos, they moved Yom HaZikaron to Monday, and then moved Yom HaAtzmaut to Tuesday, to Hei and Vav Iyar respectively. I think that says a lot in and of itself, that that you take a national holiday, you take the most important, this day of Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaAtzmaut are the Kodesh Kodoshim of the majority of Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. Once my wife did laundry on Yom HaAtzmaut, and we were yelled at by our neighbors. We lived in a mixed neighborhood. They're not allowed to do laundry on Yom HaAtzmaut. It's malacha. Not to do malacha on Yom HaAtzmaut. In other words, this is their Kodesh Kodeshim, and they're willing to move it for Chilul Shabbos, that there shouldn't be Chilul Shabbos. I always felt that there was a side benefit, and that is that Yom HaAtzmaut is never going to come out on a Monday. Namely, even though this is the season of Bahav, that Yom HaAtzmaut is never going to conflict with Bahav, so you don't have maybe other conflicts, but that's not one of the conflicts. But in any case, what we do have by Yom HaAtzmaut and Yom HaZikaron is that they always fall out during the same week of Sfira. They fall out during the week of Tiferes. We know that the world of Sfira Saomer is not only a countdown in terms of Midos Shatorah Niknes Bahem, to work towards Matan Torah, it's not only in terms of Midos, 48 ways of Rav Weinberg, of working on one's Midos, but it's also, we're dealing with the world of Sfiros, of trying to relate, to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have seven Sfirot that relate to seven lower Sfirot, and each of those Sfirot is broken up like in a prism into another seven. So we not only have Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, etc., but we have Chesed, the Chesed, Gvura, the Chesed, etc. The Yom HaAtzmaut and Yom HaZikaron always come out during the week of Tiferes. Tiferes is a very, very special Midah. Tiferes represents a Midah of balance, a Midah of symmetry, a Midah of harmony between Chesed and Gvura. Avraham was Chesed, Yitzchak was Gvura. Each of those can be taken to an extreme, or even the world of Arayos can be a manifestation of Chesed taken to an extreme. Chesed he, we read in the parasha regarding one of the forms of incest. Gevura can be taken to an extreme in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt he couldn't create the world with the Shem Elohim, with the Shem of Din, with the Shem of Gevura. He had to mix in also the Shem of Chesed. Yaakov Avinu, the Bechir of the Avos, represents the Midah of Tiferes. We had Pirkei Avos last week. Eizo derech yisharash yarvelo ha'adam, kol shehi tiferes la'oseha, v'tiferes lo min ha'adam. This Tiferes represents a balance, a harmony between Chesed and Gvura, between Gvura and Chesed. There is a very, very beautiful statement of Rav Kook in his Sidur Olat HaRi'iyah, on the pasuk Hashem oz la'amo yitain, Hashem yivarech et amo ba'shalom. Normally we view oz and shalom as opposites. Oz represents power, shalom represents peace, that's passivity. V'gar hazaevim hakeves, that's shalom. Rav Kook pointed out, no, that oz is a manifestation of tiferes, ki tiferes uzamo ata. Oz represents a harmony. Oz represents a balance, a symmetry. Namely, shalom doesn't come from everything being the same. That's not shalom. Shalom comes from everything being different, but it all meshes together into one shalom if all the differences are balanced one with the other. When we have, if you have the 12 tribes that surround the Mishkan, that's shalom. Every tribe has its own unique character. Every shevet has its own distinctive personality. And yet, when they are set up in the right manner, Hashem oz la'amo yitain, Hashem yivarech et amo b'shalom, that brings about shalom when they're all surrounding the Mishkan, when they're all able to work in harmony and symmetry one with the other. In terms of the days of Briyas HaOlam, so Rav Pinkus has a sefer Shabbos Malchusa, where he points out that the seventh day is the Midah of Malchus, and he describes very, very, very beautifully the equation of Shabbos and Midas HaMalchus. If Shabbos is the seventh day is Malchus, that means Tiferes is the third day. What was created on the third day? On the third day, we have the creation of Tad Shei Haaretz Desha, Eitz Pri, that we have the creation of organic life. Organic life serves as the world of Tiferes. It's a symmetry, it's a harmony, it's a balance between Gvura and Chesed. That the plant, in order for it to grow, has to be rooted. Rooted means that it has to be mitzumtzam. It has to be in one place. It has to have limited movement. Only then can it grow. And then you have the chesed, you have the tzmicha, you have the growth. Namely, that all of organic growth comes out of a balance of tiferes between gevura and chesed, between taking a step back and spreading oneself out. In this respect, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Bahashgachato, put in the week of Tiferes, of all of the weeks of the year, put in the week of Tiferes Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaAtzmaut. Yom HaZikaron represents Gevura, Yom HaAtzmaut represents Chesed. The Gemara in Brachos on Daf Hei Amud Aleph towards the bottom has a statement, Tanya, Amar Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Shalosh matanos tovos nosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu liYisrael v'kulan lo nosnan ela ayidei yisurim ve'elu hein Torah Eretz Yisrael the Olam Haba. Again, Amar Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Amar Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. We're coming to Lag BaOmer. Amar Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Shalosh matanos tovos nosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu liYisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Chesed, gave a matana. Gave chasadim to Klal Yisrael. He gave a matana of Torah. He gave a matana of Eretz Yisrael. He gave a matana of Olam Haba. V'kulam lo nasna el yedei Yisurin. They all came via the Midas HaGvura. They all came with the Midas HaDin. That you can't have one without the other. Only chesed we would not appreciate. Only Gvura we would not be able to stand. But the combination, the harmony, the symmetry, the balance between the din and the chesed, that's what we have in terms of Yom HaZikaron and in terms of Yom HaAtzmaut. That we have 2 days of Hakaras HaTov. We have a day of Hakaras HaTov today, Yom HaZikaron, to those who suffered the Yisurim for us. Eretz Yisrael is nicknames be Yisurim. What are our Yisurim? Our Yisurim is that our, we'll plug in a 110 into a 220 and our microwave will blow up. Those are our Yisurim. We get gypped by the taxi driver on the way from the airport. What are our Yisurim? It's a little too cold, it's a little too hot. People give their lives in order that we live in Eretz Yisrael. That's the Lo Nostan, Gimel Matanas Tovos, Lo Nostan Ela Ayadei Yisurim. These are the Yisurim that we're speaking about in terms of Kinyan Eretz Yisrael. Kinyan Eretz Yisrael is a Kinyan Damim. It's a Kinyan that will only be meaningful via Yisurim, and a person has to have the most basic midah of every midah is Hakaras HaTov. The chait of Adam HaRishon was even before, or wasn't so much that he ate from the Eitz Hadas Tov Hara. That was done to a certain degree ba'ones. He was mafuta. He was seduced by Chava. However, to be kofir tov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ha'isha asher nasata imadi, You know, it's don't look at me, look at her, to be kofir tov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the chet. That's the real chet of Adam Rishon. Kfiras tova was really the chet ha-yisodi. A person has to have akaras ha-tov. So first we have to have akaras ha-tov to those who are our shlichim in terms of the yisurim. And secondly, of course, Yom Ha'atzmut is akaras ha-tov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the matana tova that he is giving us on a daily basis. Rav Nevensal, I think more than once in his volumes, tells the story of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. When Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal was the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Kol Torah over here in Beit Vegan, so a student had to ask permission from Rosh Yeshiva if he wanted to leave the yeshiva. So a number of fellows in the yeshiva who requested permission from Rav Shlomo Zalman to go north, to go up to Tzfat, to daven bekivrei tzadikim, that they felt that they needed various yeshuot, and we know there's a school of davening bekivrei tzadikim, that Kadosh Baruch Hu should bring us yeshua, yischus the tzadikim who are buried here, and they wanted to go up to Tzfat to daven bekivrei tzadikim. So Shlomo Zalman smiled and said he has nothing against the davening bekivrei tzadikim, but why travel 3 hours to Tzfat and 3 hours back? Why not walk across the street to Har Herzl? You have kivrei tzadikim on Har Herzl. Kadosh Baruch Hu bezchutam will also bring the same bring the same yeshuot. I'm trying to think the first time I heard the story. The first time I heard the story, I think, was from Rav Benny Eisner, Rav Binyamin Ben Blanca. You should have Refuah Shlema, Refuah Sanefesh, Refuah Saguf. I heard it from him many years ago, and then Ari Khan, who was a student here in the Kollel, now lives in Yerushalayim, he put it up on Eish.com, and last year Rav David Gottlieb spoke here at the Yom HaAtzmaut dinner. Rav David Gottlieb, who was in Baltimore, now in Ramat Beit Shemesh, and he told the story as well. So those of you who know it, I think it pays to hear it once more. There was a very, very special Jew who lived here in Yerushalayim. His name was Rav Gustman. Rav Gustman was in Eretz Yisrael. He had a yeshiva called Netzach Yisrael. It used to be, when I was in YU, it was known as a draft-dodging yeshiva in Brooklyn. He never had hatzlacha in America in terms of talmidim. But he came to Eretz Yisrael, and he moved his yeshiva here, and here in Eretz Yisrael, he was recognized for who he was. When he was 18 years old, he was on the Beis Din of the Achiezer. He was on the Beis Din of Reb Chaim Ozer in Vilna. He was a mamish, a tremendous genius, and a very, very special mensch. And during one of the wars in Lebanon, the first Lebanon war, there was... Every Jew who dies was a tragedy. One of the Jews who died was a very, very talented young man who was learning in Shalavim, a young man named Shlomo Alman. Nowadays, everyone knows his father, Professor Alman. But that time, he was learning very, very well in the Kollel in Shalavim. He was called into the army. He was in a tank. He was killed in Lebanon. And the Levaya was held here in Yerushalayim, and Rav Gustman attended the Levaya. And after the Levaya, Rav Benny said, he turned to Rav Benny and he said to Rav Benny, drive me to the house. Drive me to Rav Alman's house. Now, everyone knows that normally people don't go to be Menachem Avil the first 3 days after death, except for Krovim, really, really close people, family members. That's the time when the family sort of gets together. It's no halacha that way. It's a minhag. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says there are a number of minhagim that have no makar to deal with three. That's one of those minhagim that has no makar. That certainly lehefech, in other words, if you know no one's going to be visiting, you should go to Menachem Avil in the first 3 days. But usually, right after the levaya, that's the time when the aveli meet the sudas havra. Usually, no one goes, but he went. He asked Rav Benny to drive him there, and he went in. And Rav Gussi, he sat down, and he introduced himself to Professor Alman. He didn't know Professor Alman at all, and he said, "I want to tell you a story. Everyone knows that I have a daughter because I have." My daughter is here in Eretz Yisrael. I have a son-in-law, but I also had a son. I had a son, a young boy who was Baruch Hashem very, very special, and we were running away from the Nazis in the forest, and they murdered my son in front of my eyes. They killed him. And I had nothing left of him, so I took his shoes. And I carried his shoes with me just to remember my son. And we were in the forest for a long time, and it was very difficult to find food. And everything that we had, we bartered. We had nothing. And at one point, in order to live, in order that my wife and myself and my daughter, in order that we'd be able to live, I bartered these shoes that I had saved from my son, my only remembrance of my son. I bartered them for food, that we should be able to live. And I believe, said Rav Gustman to Rav Alman, that my son now is in a special minyan in Olam HaEmes, which is made up of all of the Kedoshim who were killed because they were Jews. But your son, he turned to Professor Alman and said, your son, he's the Shliach Tzibur in that minyan. He's the Shliach Tzibur in that minyan, because not only did he die Al Kiddush Hashem, but he died B'Hagonas HaMoledet. He died in terms of protecting Jews. His death, my son died because he was a Jew, but he didn't protect anyone with his death. Your son's death protected the Jewish people, and therefore my son is one of the minyan, your son is the Shliach Tzibur in the minyan. Rav Alman felt that the nechama that he received from that story was the most powerful nechama that he could ever have in terms of the loss of his son. When I was listening to the shiur that Rav Soloveitchik gave on, that's currently on YU Torah, on Yom HaAtzmaut, it's called Yoshua Ezra Koach and Gvura. So it goes for over an hour, and the Rav began by dealing with the difference between the bracha me'ein shalosh, in which we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's done in a very, very abbreviated manner, and Birkas HaMazon, which is the same thanks, but it's done in the full manner. And he asked, why on Noros Ofkol Sof we say Al HaMichya, we say the Bracha Me'ein Shalosh, the abbreviated manner, on Shiva Saminim. We say the Birkas HaMazon specifically on Lechem. Why should we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu more in an abbreviated manner for Shiva Saminim and more in a full manner for Lechem? The difference between Shiva Saminim and Lechem is in terms of what we put into it. Shiva Saminim, we don't put anything into it. There's a fruit going on the tree. We take the fruit off of the tree and we bite into it and we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this wonderful fruit. In terms of the Lechem, there kama tirchos tarach Adam harishon until he ate bread. That b'zeyas apecha tocha lechem. You have to be kotzer and you have to be tochen. All of Sidura Defas, 11 malachos go into making lechem. Namely, there's a difference between a Yehoshua and an Ezra. Yehoshua represents an immediate, an instant gratification. Yehoshua was part of the door of Yotzei Mitzrayim. Everything came like Kriyas Yamsuf, boom. You go into Eretz Yisrael, 31 malachim. Bing, bing, bing. In other words, you have these instant battles. Everything works out. Certainly, that requires a shira. However, there the shira is more abbreviated. Mashenk and Ezra. Ezra represents not Yeshua, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing everything for us, but rather a partnership between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We put in the effort. We wait, and we're under Shibud Malchios, and we suffer. And then, together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we get to a conclusion. On that, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu totally. It's like the difference between Har Sinai and Har HaMoriah. Har Sinai has no Kedusha. Har HaMoriah has all the Kedusha in the world. Har Sinai was part of the Yeshua. It was a gift of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There were no Yisurim. We went to sleep at night. In the morning, we woke up, and there was Matan Torah. Masha'en Kein Har HaMoriah, that's where you have an Akedah. That's where you have a korban. The more that there is a korban, the more that man puts himself into the picture, the more kedusha that there is. Yom HaZikaron represents the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael because of all the Yisurim. Gimel Matanos Tovos Nosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Even Matan Torah had to go through a Moed Bet. We had to go through a second stage in which Moshe Rabbeinu had to wait 80 days before going up again to Har Sinai. He had to make the Luchos himself. It was a partnership. When you have a partnership, that's something which is lasting. The Kedusha of Ezra is Kitchel HaShaita v'Kitchel HaSadlavo, as opposed to Kedusha of Yeshua, when you have a gift, that's Kitchel HaShaita, there's no HaSadlavo. The first Luchos that were the total Matana, there you had Shmiras HaLuchos. The second Luchos that came about via the shutfus with us, where we put in our effort as well, that's a kedusha that has a remaining. All of kedusha basically stems from man's input. The only kedusha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought into the world was kedusha of Shabbos. After kedusha of Shabbos, all the other kedushas, kedusha of Yontif, Mekadosh Yisrael Vazmanim, Mekadosh Yisrael, Shehim Mekadosh Vazmanim, kedusha of Sefer Stam, Sefer Torah, Tilna Mezuzah, it's all kedusha that man puts in. Over here, Yom HaZikaron is to remember the sacrifice, remember the korban that reestablished the level of kedusha for those who died. They died al kedusha Hashem, and they deepened our contact, our connection, our marriage to Eretz Yisrael. The Rav has a volume called, I remember how many was it? Is it Shesh Drashos, Sheva Drashos, Teisha Drashos? What? Fear. What?
Five.
Okay. Five Drashos. Finif Drashos. Five Drashos. What? Yeah? Five. Okay. So one of those Drashos, he deals with the six?
No, five.
Okay, five Drashos. So one of those drushos, there are speeches that he gave at various Mizrahi conventions over the course of the year. He gave them in Yiddish, and then they were translated into Hebrew, and then for American Jewry they were translated into English as well. So they were translated into Hebrew for posterity, and for American Jewry they're translated into English. So one of those drushos, he deals with the burial of Sarah, that we find that it says twice that Avraham purchased the land from B'nai Ches. Once it says G'enei B'nai Ches, and the other time it says Me'es B'nai Ches. Once he purchased the land in front of B'nai Ches, and once he purchased it from B'nai Ches. And the Rav explained that there are two kinyanim in the land of Eretz Yisrael. One is a juridic kinyan, mishpati, that you hand over money and now you owe this legally. That's Me'es, that's Lifnei B'nai Ches. And then there is a kinyan damim, there is a kinyan that one acquires land via suffering, that then it becomes existentially connected to Klal Yisrael. It leaves the hands of the goyim, and it moves into our hands. The Torah later on speaks about v'yirishtem osav v'yishavtem ba. The Ramban counts this as one of Taryag Mitzvos. V'yishavtem ba, we know as Yishav Eretz Yisrael. V'yirishtem osav means to take it away from the goyim, to bring it into that which is Havdalah, that which is Hamavdil ben Kodesh Lechol ben Yisrael la'amim, to bring it into the realm of Kedusha. Between those two kinyanim, there was the burial of Sarah, namely that the kinyan of Eretz Yisrael from a legalistic perspective was money. The kinyan of Eretz Yisrael from an existential perspective, that which connects us to Eretz Yisrael, was the burial of Sarah, that Avram Avinu lost Sarah at the Akedah. The Akedah, we all know, brought about the death of Avraham's beloved. That when they came to tell Sarah about the Akedah, Parcha Nafsha, she wasn't able to listen to the end of the story, to deal with the tension as to what actually happened to her Ben Yachid, to Yitzchak. And because she died due to the Akedah, because of her death, That's what gave us Eretz Yisrael. Kulo niknu el eidei Yisurim. So if you ask yourselves, just a minute, what's going on over here? Sarah died at the ripe old age of 127. Yitzchak was 30 at the Akedah. Why are the Yisurim of why is Sarah's death considered to be Yisurim? And the answer is because Sarah's death was the fallout of the death of Yitzchak. Namely, that whenever a soldier dies, whenever an individual dies, it's not only that he's dying and that he is gone, but rather that all the people who knew him miss him. That there are Yisurim of all of those who knew him. This person, this soldier who died, had a wife and has children, had parents, brothers, sisters, etc. When we speak about Yom HaZikaron, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not asking you. Everyone has his own challenge. He's asking to you to be a Yitzhak. He's not asking you to be an Akedah. He's not asking you to give up your lives. But I think what he's asking each of us is to be a Sarah, namely to feel for the person who lost his life, to feel a connection, to feel a oneness, that we're all one family. And when one soldier dies, when 10 soldiers die, when 100 soldiers, 1,000, 22,000 soldiers die, these are our brothers, and one should feel today the sense of their loss. That, I think, is the message of Yom HaZikaron. Yom HaZikaron is the Gvura part of the Tiferes. It's the Din of the Tiferes. It's the Yisurim with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt that only via these Yisurim could we get to the total Kinyan of Eretz Yisrael. And the Yisurim are not only Yisurim of those who are lost, but the Yisurim of all of us who should miss those who are lost, who should feel a connection to all of those who are lost. My advice to you, both to the men and to the women, together or separately, that's your call, is to take a walk over to Har Herzl today. Sach HaKol, I timed it yesterday. It's about 20 minutes to get to maybe 25 minutes walking. There's also a bus that goes there. To go to Har Herzl and just to walk. And just to walk and to see the families that are there and to realize that every soldier who's there either could have had a family or has a family, but they all gave their lives in order that we'd be able to be here, to sit here, to learn here, to enjoy the Matana Tova that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, and to feel the Hakaras HaTov to them and to all of their extended families, all of whom who suffered Yisurim, so that we can have this Matana Tova. I usually go at about 5 in the afternoon. Things are relatively quiet then. My excuse for going then is that there were two distant cousins of my wife who were killed in Milchemet HaShichur, one soon after the Milchama down near Eilat, one during the Milchama in Har HaTzofim, and so we go to visit their kvarim, but it's really irrelevant when one goes, but one should try, and even it doesn't have to be today, but one should try and link in with those special nefashot. From the din, we move over into the chesed. And here we move over into Yom HaTzmaut. I'd like to read with you, I read this last year with those who were here, but it pays to reread. There is a letter of Rav Dessler. Rav Dessler, many of you know, learned in Kelm, and then between World War I and World War II, made his way to England and set up the Kollel in Gateshead, and then came here to Eretz Israel to Panovich, and gave sichot here in Panovich, and then when he was back in England, he was asked to come to Panovich as the Mashgiach of Yeshivas Panovich. And so he wrote this letter from Gateshead, on Yom Vav, Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, Tuf Chet Shin. Namely, this was Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, 1948. We're talking, in other words, the state was set up in May 9th, 1948. This is August 1948. He's writing to the people in Panovich. He received the letter, and he would love to come to Panovich, but he has a daughter who's getting married, and the family is from America, and he has to travel to America to meet the family, so he doesn't think he's going to make it by any means to Panovich before Rosh Hashanah. But he points out to them, in the third paragraph, begins the word akaveh. Akaveh ki tishtadlu b'chol oz lehitzchazek kol ha-yeshiva yachad ki ish echad v'hitzchazkus rabba l'Rosh Hashanah haba aleinu letova. That this coming Rosh Hashanah of Tav Shin Chet of 1948, deserves a special hiskaskus in Panovich. Why? Halohu yom hadin harishon livchon b'maaseinu ech kibalnu et hanisim hagluyim asher mare lanu Hashem yitbarach v'li hefseik b'shana zo. That we're dealing with a special year. This is the first Rosh Hashanah, this is the first Yom Hadin, to see how we're going to react to the Nisim Gluyim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has shown us without stop during this past year. Shonehu Rosh Hashanah Zo Mishel Shar Hashanim She'avru Ka'et Hu Cheshbon Shel Hit'alut HaRuchanit Shayeta Lanu Miriyat HaNisim HaGluyim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is testing us. What are we doing with the gift that he is giving us? How are we reacting to them? Are we able to raise ourselves spiritually when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us such special chesed? Umagodel hu hapachad. This is Rav Dessler writing. The fear, shema chas v'shalom lo lamadnu behem kedaboy. Maybe chas v'shalom will say, oh, this is olam kiminahago noheg, that there's really nothing to be spiritually aroused on this. Hari aleinu levakesh rachamim shlo yichlu hanisim halalu v'aleinu laharbos me'od zuchuyot v'chulei. Okay, this is Rav Dessler. This is not written by Rav Kook. This was not written by Rav Chalap, Rav Chalap's grandfather, Talmud Chaver Rav Kook. This was written by Rav Dessler to the students in Panovich in 1948. Now think to yourself, he's talking about the Nisim Gluyim that occurred from Rosh Hashanah Tavshin Zayin to Rosh Hashanah Tavshin Chet. What are those Nisim Gluyim that he is referring to? The war was still taking place. The war broke out on Hei Iyar. There wasn't an armistice until June 1949. The War of Independence lasted more than a year and never ended. It was just a ceasefire that went into being in 1949. This was written in the middle of the battle. And yet he's speaking over here about the Nisim Gluyim. What Nisim Gluyim is he talking about? So you have in November 1947, you have the decision of the United Nations to recognize the right of the Jews to set up a state, the partition agreement. That was a Neis Goloi. It was the only time in the history of the United Nations, this is the Cold War, this is post-World War II, only time in the history of the United Nations that both Russia and America voted on the same side of the issue in those years that continued from the end from the time of Stalin through the time of Khrushchev and a bit beyond. There was never a time when America and Russia agreed on anything. But not only that, but both Russia and both the State Department of the United States and Russia both were trying to woo all the Arab nations to their side. So the fact that either of them would have voted was a neis nigla, let aside that both of them voting. That's what was one neis nigla. The second neis nigla that we're dealing with over here is the fact that we set up a state and a war began and we were not swept into the sea. That's all one can say. The war was in the middle of going on. There was no clarity in terms of how the war would end. And yet, Rav Dessler sees in the fact that there is a war, that there was a decision of the United Nations, that there is a war that we are surviving. These are the Ech kibanu et nisim hagluyim asher mare lanu, and the cheshbon hanefesh is, will we chas v'shalom say, we never won anything, it's all a fluke of history, it's all chance, who knows what's going to be, etc. Magadol hu apachad shema lo lamadnu mehem kidaboy pum fakert. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was testing us. What's Yom HaDin? Yom HaDin is to see our reactions to the situation in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts us. Think to yourselves, had Rav Dessler passed away in the early 1950s. Think to yourself, had Rav Dessler lived through the Sinai campaign, had Rav Dessler lived through the Six-Day War, had Rav Dessler lived to see what we have seen in our lifetimes, had Rav Dessler lived to see the Kibbutz Golios. This was written in 1948. This was before the Kibbutz Golios. Here we are dealing where you had 600,000 Jews in Eretz Yisrael. There were more Jews in the Bronx in 1948 than there were in Eretz Yisrael in 1948. Rabbi Kefan and I could speak about the Bronx. I was never in Washington Avenue. But I'm sure that when his book comes out, he'll describe the Bronx of that time. The Bronx, you know, it's had 700,000 Jews. It was a Jewish stadt. Eretz Yisrael had 600,000 Jews. That's the Eretz Yisrael that Rav Dessler was referring to. Had he seen the Kibbutz Golios from all of the Arab nations, millions of Jews coming in from Iraq and Iran and Morocco with the permission of their governments. That's amazing. In other words, these are the governments that are fighting against Medinat Yisrael, and yet they're allowing all of their Jews in the late 1940s and the early 1950s to come to Eretz Yisrael. All of the Sfaradim, Achenu Meha Mizrach. It's a nes nigla. It makes no sense. It makes no sense geopolitically that these countries should have allowed all of their citizens, all of their Jews, to come to Eretz Yisrael. So what did they get out of it? They got money, right? That they kept the money of the Jews. But these Jews built the state. These are the Jews that keep the state alive, in you know, that the Arabs are trying to destroy. And then you have another million Jews coming from Russia. Mi Milel, mi Pilel, at that time in Russia, this was communist Russia that existed in the time of Rav Dessler. Did anyone think that a million Jews would come out of Russia and Ethiopia? Who knew there were Jews in Ethiopia? You know, with 10 tribes. In other words, who even was aware that you had these, and even a few Jews come from America? In other words, that all of this, this is a nation that Rav Dessler wasn't even speaking about. He wasn't even relating to the wars that the Jews won. He wasn't even relating to the kibbutz Golios. He certainly wasn't relating to the nevuos that literally have come true to our eyes. Sefer Zecharia over there. That if one opens Sefer Zecharia, Perek Ches, Pasuk Dalet, Ko Amar Hashem Tzvakot, Od Yeshvu Zekenim Uzekenos, Birechovos Yerushalayim, Ish Mishanto Biyado, Mirov Yamim, Urechovot Toir Yimalu Yiladim Viyilados, Mesachakim Birechovoseha. Mamash, you just go walking through Yerushalayim, walk at Grus. You don't have to go beyond the playground of Grus. Well, we don't have Zakeimitis, but we could bring myself and Rabbi Bleich. So we'll have Zakeimitis, Zakeinot, bring my wife as well. Yoshvim Berechovos, don't tell her, I said. Yoshvim Berechovos, Berechovos, Yerushalayim. In other words, that we have, I was just joking, that we have over here a kium of a nevuah in a literal manner. I don't know if any of you were married in Yerushalayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me the zechut of being married in Yerushalayim. K'nai Nahar, 8 of our children have been married in Yerushalayim. Od Yishama v'arei Yehuda v'chutzos Yerushalayim, kol sason v'kol simcha, kol chasan v'kol kala, to be able to have a wedding where you feel you're part of a nevuah of Yirmiyahu, and the most powerful nevuah of all, L'chora, is the nevuah of Yeshayahu. What? That why he was bringing a mashgiach from Eretz Yisrael? Ki mitzion teitzei Torah? That, in other words, that you think about the fact that ki mitzion teitzei Torah is something that in our generation is a reality. Everyone comes to Eretz Yisrael. It's irrelevant whether you're Reform, whether you're conservative, whether you're Orthodox, modern Orthodox, whether you're centrist Orthodox, whether you're Haredi Orthodox, whether you're Satmar Orthodox, everyone comes to Eretz Yisrael to learn. Whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, whether you're going to yeshiva, you're going to a seminar, and then you go back to Chutz, Kimi Tzion Tzei Sarah. It's astounding. In other words, the Gedolei, our Gedolei Torah, are all in Eretz Yisrael. This is where the center of Jewish learning is in our generation for the first time since the time of Vayesheni. This is Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah. That's what Yeshayahu says. That's what's going to be. This is a kiyum of a nevuah. Even birthright is, you can smile, but lemaisa they marry more Jewish girls because they were because they were at your home for Shabbos. When last year, Shuki Taylor invited me to the birthright Shabbos in the Prima Plaza, that was called, not the birthright. It was the YU Winter Mission, and there was a speaker Shalashudis from Birthright, where he said that they did a poll among all the hundreds of thousands of students of Kiyum Birthright. What were the most powerful moments of their trip to Eretz Yisrael? And the two most powerful moments, the two that had the biggest impact on them, were being at the Kotel on Friday night and eating in the home of a religious couple. Those were the two that had the biggest impact on them, more than Matsada, more than the rappelling in Midbar Yehuda, more than jumping at the Zavitan, right? That just, you know, so one has no idea of Kimi Tzion Teitzei Torah. I mean, Sof Kol Sof, you know, where it's, this is, the birthright on purpose tries to be as pluralistic as possible, tries to be as open as possible, tries not to convert and not to do this and not to do that. And for most of the people who are in charge of it, pum fakert. In other words, they're not interested necessarily that people become more religious, but the two most powerful nekudos of Eretz Yisrael are connections to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our connections to, that's Kimi Tzion Teitzei Torah. The Baal Tshuva movement used to be, the American Baal Tshuva movement, used to be in Boston. The Boston Rebbe was once the magnet of the Baal Tshuva movement. He was he hit into it. He realized that you have all these college students and that they're Jewish, and he began inviting them. And we know many, many individuals who were touched by the Rebbe in many ways. The moment the Six-Day War came, he hung up a shelet out of business. Namely, we all moved over to Eretz Yisrael, be it Eish HaTorah, be it Or Sameach, be it what is in Kiryat Moshe, Machon Meir, be it Chappelle, be it Machon Shlomo, be it the summer program of the Machina. In other words, it all moved into Eretz Yisrael. Kimi Tzion Teitzei Torah. This is a nevuah of Yeshayahu. Rav Dessler didn't see any of these nisim niflaos. All he saw was the beginning of a war. And yet, with his insight, he was able to say that these are the nisim niflaos, the beginning of the war, for which we have to, for which we owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu a hakaras hatov. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to see our reaction. He wants to see how we're going to deal with it. So as we all know, there are four ways that people nowadays, that religious people nowadays, deal with Hakamas HaMedina. There are four ways which they relate to Yom HaAtzmaut. One way is the school of Aschalta de Geula, that we're on the path, it's a one-way street. It's only a question of time until the Beis HaMikdash is built, and that we should recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has brought us back. This is the Aschalta de Geula. We should do everything in our hands to push and push and push that the Geula should come as quickly as it can. There's no problem of the Shalosh Shvuos, the Goyim, they messed up their side. We're not held by our side. And the way that one relates to Yom HaAtzmaut should be with Hallel, with the Bracha, Kriya Satorah, Kabbalah Shabbos, v'chulei v'chulei. That is one approach. There is the equal and opposite approach, which nowadays, to the best of my knowledge, is more in the page. It's always a picture in Jerusalem Post of someone burning a flag, but it, in terms of numbers, is very, very small, and that is the Al HaGu'ula v'Al HaTmura. That this is, the Satmar Rebbe wrote a very, very famous treatise, that this is all one big Ma'aseh Satan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us a test. It's an Eitz Hadas Tov Hara, and we're eating it. That rather than eating it, we should realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to wait. He'll take care of us. He'll bring us to Eretz Yisrael. We have no right to do this on our own, and certainly not with a secular state, etc., etc. And it's a day of mourning for Klal Yisrael that simply bit the bait and fell into the trap of Adam HaRishon. The third approach is also not that large in terms of numbers, but I view it very, very strong in terms of quality, and that's the approach of the Rav, called Udi Dofek, namely that rather not to view Eretz Yisrael as necessarily a one-way street. It's a tremendous opportunity. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is knocking on our door. He wants to see what we're going to do with the gift that he's giving us, but no promises. We can, in other words, lo aleinu shof tofel ha-satan. There are no promises. There is no necessary promise that there's not going to be another korban of the yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. We should take Iran very, 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 very seriously, and everything that goes on around us very seriously. That it's an opportunity, but it doesn't go beyond the opportunity. And then one has to think of a meaningful way of relating to the opportunity. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in in Kol Torah told them that they should not say Tachanun. They should not say Tachanun. They should recognize that there is, that there's something to change. And the fourth way of viewing Yom HaAtzmaut is, unfortunately, this was brought out last year in the Kollel, in a question that was asked of me after I spoke. Unfortunately, I think would be the opinion of a good part of the Haredi world today, and that is Olam Kemenhago Noheg. Not it's a day. It's Tuesday. Today is Monday. Tomorrow is Tuesday. Then comes Wednesday. It'll be the 21st day of Sfiras HaOmer, and it's a day. It's a day. That's all. No changes. No nothing. Just a regular day. We go to the yeshiva. We go to work. Whatever we do, we do. I always say, and I really believe this with all my heart. Anyone in the first three camps, I can hug. Anyone in the first three camps, I understand. You know, you can view things in different perspectives. Yuri Gagarin can go out into space in a Sputnik and look out of the window and say that there is no God because he doesn't see God. Someone else can go, four Americans, and can say, Hashemayim Misaprim Kvod Kel. Everyone can see the same Metzius from a different perspective. But to ignore the Metzius, to ignore a Metzius, that I find to be, lo aleinu, a darga of kfira. The fact that Gedolei Olam said, Shevi Altase, don't, you know, or say Hallel, because of Shevi Altase, you have a suffix. So one of the rules of suffix is Shevi Altase. That's a psak halacha. But Shevi Altase doesn't mean to ignore. In other words, that something happened. Something has happened in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us via history. That's a pasuk in Ha'azinu. Hazino, it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to speak to you via Nevuah, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to speak to you via Ruach HaKodesh, and then when there's no longer Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still going to speak to you. Binu shnos dor v'dor sh'al avicha v'yagetcha z'keinecha v'yomrulo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will speak to you through history. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to the world through history. The Jewish people are the messengers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to speak to the world. If history is changing, if there are events that are occurring that do not fit into any normal pattern of history, that's Omer Dorsheni. What's going to be the drasha? Is it going to be Al Hagula Valatmura? Is it going to be Reishis Tzmichas Gula Seinu? Is it going to be Kol Dudu Dofeik? That, you know, it's Machokas Haposkim. Machokas Haposkim. So you can have those who will say Hallel with a bracha, those who will say Hallel without a bracha, those who won't say Hallel, fine, that's not a problem. But a person has to be able to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to us in a very, very real sense. The fact that there happened to be a large number of religious Jews who ignore HaKadosh Baruch Hu's speech to us, so I pointed out last year that, not to make a total comparison, but in Mitzrayim, 80% of the Jews didn't come out of Mitzrayim. Only 20% came out of Mitzrayim. Only those that heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message. Only 20% v'chamushim yatsu b'nei Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. And the Gemara speaks about the time that in Yimot HaMashiach, it'll be one of X, one of Y, one of Z. Won't go through the numbers, but the fact is that even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke with Nisim Gluyim, Dam, Tzfardeya, Kinim, Aro, Dever, Shkin, Arbe, still 80% of the Jews didn't pick up the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was broadcasting to them loud and clear. And the next Makkah Sachoshech, enveloped those 80% of the Jews, lo aleinu, as well. So, you know, it's, one shouldn't bring a raya, unfortunately, from what the man in the street is doing. One should bring a raya from what Gedolim say. Rav Dessler, I view as a Gadol. Rav the Slonim Arav, the Baal HaNesiva Shalom, is also a Gadol. If you turn over the page, I'd like to read with you. I don't think I have to translate. I'll just read. Where it says Zayin. Mama od chashuv shetihye lanu behiras hada'as. Anyone who studied Nesivas Shalom should begin at the beginning. Should begin in the first volume. In other words, not necessarily that which he writes on Parshas HaShavua is beautiful, but before those volumes came out on Parshas HaShavua, he has two volumes that deal with his overall philosophy. And the first volume, second volume deals with Chagim Uzmanim. The first at Shabbos. First volume deals with Hilchos Deos. And it starts off with what does it mean to be a Jew? What does it mean to have Deah? What does it mean to be a Metzuvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And he speaks about the fact that every person has to look into himself in terms of the kochos hanefesh that Kosh Baruch Hu gave him. Every person has to look into himself in terms of his own challenges, in terms of what is most difficult for him, and that's why Kosh Baruch Hu put him into the world to overcome that difficulty. What talents did Kosh Baruch Hu give a person? And Kosh Baruch Hu put a person in the world in order to use those talents. That Kosh Baruch Hu did everything from each of us individually, but he also has to think, why did Kosh Baruch Hu put me into the world at this moment in time? Mama od choshev shtiyer bihiras hadas benogel lekolos hatzkufa leida ulahavin ma inyana hamiyuchad. Why am I in the world in this moment of time? Binush knows dor vador. Kamosha amar ha'ari kol dor kol yom v'yom eno dom lechaveru miyom brias ha'olam. Kol zman yesh tafkidim v'yudim miyuchadim. Each of us has a goal which is not only related to our character, but which is related to the generation in which we're born. V'harei lo'or zot mutelat reino chovat hitbonenut gedola u'ma'amika al doreinu u'tkufatenu. That a person, we have to look into our generation. And here he points out, al yudenu tafkidenu v'chovatenu, our responsibilities, b'olamenu, b'dor hamufla hazeh. We live in special times. What's Charles Dickens? We live in special times. That nowadays we're living in a generation of pele. Asher tzchilaso churban hanora shelohaya kedugmaso me'az Yisrael legoi. 5 years before I was born, there was a Holocaust, a terrible, terrible tragedy. Shegada b'chari af kol keren Yisrael. Avarnu kol chavli Mashiach ba'ofen ayom v'nora. Mikol merkazei hayahadut ha'nema b'Europa lo nishar afilu echad me'iru shnayim mimishpacha, like we say in the keynotes on Tisha B'Av. Aval hitzchazaknu shelolipol b'yeyush muchlat b'mamar haramchal. After a drought, then there is a pouring of rain. Kosh Baruch Hu runs the world. After the Holocaust came a tremendous shefa of chesed. The Baal Nisiv HaShalom, he lived through the Holocaust. How it was possible to reestablish a Jewish world post-Holocaust, v'hine, dor echad chalaf, in one generation, on a roim kvar baruch Hashem, gishmei beracha be'echalei ha-torah v'yeshivot, merkezei olam ha-chasidut, ba'ofen mufla kol kach, I efshar haya letayer zot mikodim. Now you told someone during the Holocaust, don't worry, in 50 years there's going to be 100,000 people sitting and learning, da da da, they would look to you like you're batty, like you're daffy. Hekim lanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu dor deya hashoked al taraso v'avodaso v'ofen shelo haya dugmaso b'doros ha'achronim. Not since the time of David and Shlomo HaMelech have there been so many people learning in Eretz Yisrael as there are currently. Olam ha'torah v'chassidut godol v'pateach v'ofen na'ale b'yoser. V'ola al kulana, the whole concept of Shevet Levi, Jews who, you know, like yourselves, who are simply sitting and learning Torah, and this is their avodas Hashem, be it temporary, be it for life, and he brings in the whole Rambam in Hilchos Shmita v'Yovel how this is a dream. This is a dream of the Jewish people to be able to support a Shevet Levi. Moving over to the next page, Yachad im zekom olam chadash loya af pam olam shabalei tshuva alfei Yisrael that are returning in tshuva, etc. And then he continues, etc., etc. In other words, that we're dealing over here with a generation. She'ein kedugmata. Just move over to the very last keta over here. I feel bad. I'm sorry. Rabbi Nachman's not waiting outside. Hador hazeh korei otano ligedulot. That this generation is asking us to rise to the occasion. You're living in a special generation. Be a special Jew. Kamo shekasa maran harav mikuvrin al apostol kein om hayom gadol lo et hayosef hamikne. He named it karef yom Hashem hagadol v'hanora. In times of gedula, it's not a time to gather money. Could have been, had we lived 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 100 years ago. So our purpose would have been combination of Torah and Derech Eretz. Fine, we're going to be a firm businessman, everything is going to be fine. But we live in a unique generation. A unique generation calls for a unique response. I photostated a page for you from h.com. I didn't photostat all the footnotes, but there's nothing over here which is a chiddush. except for the fact to realize that Eretz Yisrael, even on a secular plane, leaving aside, take HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kiviyochel, out of the picture, it's not Alpi Derech HaTeva. There is nothing that occurs here in Eretz Yisrael which makes sense geopolitically, which makes sense according to the worlds of according to the world of economics, according to the world, the laws of population. Nothing here makes sense. Everything is unique. This is all, of course, the good side, because H.com, of course, is trying to point out the good side. The other side of the coin is that we're the only nation in the world whose legitimacy is still being questioned. We're the only nation of the world who lives in a state of total insecurity from day to day. But that is also part of the uniqueness. That's also part of Ein Lecha Lismoch Ela Alavicha Sheva Shemayim. That's the Gemara at the end of Sota of what life is going to be, Bikvasa de Meshicha. Everything we're living through is found already in Tanakh, is found already in Chazal. They knew what we would be in for, but that we're dealing with something which is unique, which is very special. Just to end off with two challenges. I'll say them over in the names of the people that they were said. One was said in the name of Rav Kook, and the other in the name Shel Zatzal, the other name of Rav Konstantin Shibadol L'Chaim Tovim V'Arukim. The Rav Kook spoke in the Churva in 1933 when it was reestablished, and he spoke about the fact that we speak in the Pasuk Tzka B'Shofar Godol L'Cheiruseinu. And he asked, what is the shofar gadol? What is the shofar gadol? It implies that there's a shofar katan, there's a shofar benoni, and there's a shofar gadol. So Rav Kook said that the tekah b'shofar gadol l'cheiruseinu represents kibbutz golios. Kibbutz golios can come with a shofar katan. Namely, people could come to Eretz Yisrael because they're running away from wherever they were. That they weren't able to remain where they were. They're running from. That is a kibbutz golios, but it's a kibbutz golios which is b'di'evid, and on that we don't make a bracha, like a shofar katan. Then you have a shofar benoni, of people who are coming to Eretz Yisrael because it's Eretz Yisrael, but shelo lishma, because there's a sachak klita in Eretz Yisrael, they can find employment in Eretz Yisrael, their family is in Eretz Yisrael. You can have people who come to Eretz Yisrael, for not because they're running away, but they're coming here for good reasons, but for the wrong reasons. That's a shofar benoni. That is still b'di'evit, but already you make a bracha. Then you have the shofar gadol, when people come to Eretz Yisrael because it's Eretz Yisrael. When people come to Eretz Yisrael because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this matana tova. People come to Eretz Yisrael for all of the right reasons. That is what we're looking for. And to a large degree, the American community that is coming to Eretz Yisrael, that is what motivates them 90% of the time. That's the shofar gadol. What Rav Uchenstein pointed out was his mashal of the world is that the world consists of a playing field and a grandstand. And Eretz Yisrael is the playing field and Golus is the grandstand. And a person has a choice whether he wants to be one of the players or whether he wants to be an observer. Someone who comes to live in Eretz Yisrael, he is a player. He is a player in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. Someone who lives in Chutz La'aretz, he's an observer. He's in the grandstand. It's a different form of of relating to the world in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. Rabbi Gottlieb, when he was here last year, ended his speech on Yom HaTzmut with a mashal of a contest that was held in England in the 19th century. England, 19th century, were individuals who were very, very involved in literature and in speech, the King's Speech, and they had a contest for who could speak in the most meaningful manner, who can orate in the best manner, and it came down to 10 orators out of all of England, and these 10 orators were brought to a stage, and they were given the same speech to present. They were given Tehillim Mizmor Kaf Gimel, the Lord is my shepherd, and each of them said it in his own manner. you had the Sorgor and Solovier, and you had Richard Burton, and you had the ten top orators in England, and the last one who spoke was so amazing that when he finished saying the Mizmor of Tehillim, everyone clapped. The entire audience clapped, and then the judges went in. While the judges were discussing the scores of the ten individuals, there was a Rav who was there, a Jew, who asked the people in charge of the contest whether he would be able to say the Mizmor, whether he could say this Perek of Tehillim. He's a rabbi, and it's very meaningful to him. So the English, they bit their upper lip, and out of their gentlemanness and niceness, they allowed the Rav to get up on the stage. And in his heavy Jewish accent, he began in English to say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," and as I, etc. And people began to laugh. People began to laugh at, you know, here you just heard the 10 most eloquent speakers of England, and here is this rabbi in this broken English trying to read this Perek of Tehillim. And then as he was reading the Perek of Tehillim, the mood changed, and people began to turn teary, and then people began to cry. And when he finished saying the Perek of Tehillim, everyone in the audience was in tears. The judges came out, and they presented the trophy to the 10th person, to the ones whom everyone clapped. They had not heard the rabbi at all. And then everyone went on their way, and this 10th person felt horrible. He says, "Why am I winning this?" He ran after the rabbi and says, "You deserve this. You weren't heard by the judges, but you brought people to tears. And you deserve this." I said, "No, I wasn't part of the contest. I just wanted to say the Perek of Tehillim." So the person said, "But just tell me one thing. Why, when I finished, did everyone clap? And when you finished, did everyone cry?" So the rabbi said to the orator, "You spoke about the shepherd. I know the shepherd. I speak to the shepherd. The shepherd is my shepherd. In Eretz Yisrael, the shepherd is our shepherd. We speak to the shepherd. It's we're living with the shepherd. Clearly, every moment of our lives is we feel the tremendous hashgacha pratis that we can pinch ourselves and feel that the hashgacha pratis of living with the shepherd. Hashem roi lo echsar binos desha yarbitzeni amei menuchosina haleni. The Kosh Baruch Hu is mamish holding our hands at every stage of the game. That's what I think it revelatively meant by being on the playing field. In Chutz La'aretz is Chutz La'aretz. I do think that there is a, in other words, it's not a question of black and white. There is a tremendous amount of potential of the Jewish community in Chutz La'aretz, but I do feel that it's only going to be able to grow as long as they feel a connection to Eretz Yisrael. The only reason that I'm going to Chutz La'aretz next year is not because Rav Bednar had a putsch in the kollel. It's not because I'm being brought as a right-wing answer to Rabbi Blau. It's not because this is a nefarious plot to close down the kollel and they have to get rid of me in order to close down the kollel. The only reason I'm going to Eretz Yisrael is because I feel that all of these kids, the 90% of the kids in Eretz in YU who were in Eretz Yisrael, when they were in Eretz Yisrael, they were on the playing field, and they felt what it meant to walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then they go back to the grandstand. Now, it's nothing wrong to be in the grandstand as long as you connect to what's going on the field. But what happens within the 4 years of YU is that the fellows in the grandstand begin eating the hot dogs, and then they forget about the game. And they get into the hot dogs, or the girl sitting next to them, or the fact they could bet with a fellow behind them, and they can make a little money. And what happens is that they lose a sense of where they are. They lose a sense of who they are. So my whole purpose is just to remind them of the game going on, and that they should and that they were part of, that they were part of, and Yitachen in the future they will be part of, and just to give them that feeling of being able to walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu even when they're in Chutz La'aretz. I'm gathering brachos, so I would appreciate very much if you would all give me your bracha, that Emir Tzashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give Siyata Deshmaya, and that my Yishtadlis will have an effect. I don't know if I can speak this way next year, so I'm taking the advantage of speaking when I'm here. Even though I plan to be back here 7 times, I don't think that Yom HaAtzmaut comes unless it comes out to be the test time next year. I have no idea. I didn't check the calendars. I do think that we should all look into ourselves, look at our kochos hanefesh, feel what we can do, when we can do, how we can do it, but always to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in this generation giving us very, very, very special opportunities, and try and see how we can best take advantage of them.